Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. During the past several weeks, America's attention has been focused on two well-known and much-loved citizens, Mickey Mantle and Larry Hagman. Mickey Mantle was one of the greatest baseball players of all time. But he apparently drank heavily most of his adult life. As a result of his drinking, his liver and other bodily organs were virtually destroyed. He has had a liver transplant, which seemed to be working well. But in recent days, it has been learned that other organs in his body are cancerous. He has begun some form of treatment in an attempt to prolong his life. I sincerely hope and pray that the treatment is successful. He has confessed to having misused the great gifts which God bestowed upon him. Larry Hagman has been a prominent actor for many years. He played one of the most despicable characters imaginable in the TV drama Dallas. His character on the program was the kind everybody loves to hate, but he played the character well. Larry Hagman, like Mickey Mantle, thought he could drink and continue with his life as if nothing were wrong. 2 years ago, he was diagnosed with cirrhosis of the liver. In the last few weeks, he has learned that he has a large tumor on his liver. Neither of these men seem to know the great damage liquor can do to the human body, or else they ignored what they knew. Chances are that their lives will be shortened by a number of years because of their drinking. What if these men had been adequately informed about the dangers of drinking while they were young? Would it have made any difference in their drinking habits? Obviously, I have no way of knowing. But I want to tell our young people today about what the older preachers used to call demon rum. Maybe our young people will listen and avoid the alcohol tragedies which are occurring all across America. Whether or not our young people or older ones listen, I have an obligation to warn of the physical and eternal consequences of drinking. Please listen carefully to our study, and let me hear from you if you have questions or comments. My only desire is to help to avoid or to overcome the tragedies of beverage alcohol. As most of you probably know, USA Today publishes a magazine on the weekend with the title USA Weekend. For the weekend of August the 12th through the 14th, 1994, USA Weekend printed an article on teens and drinking. This splendid article was devoted to a survey of 93,000 students who wrote to USA Today. The facts contained in this article ought to make every parent, preacher, and teacher in America wake up to the epidemic of drinking among the young people of this great nation. They should also inspire us to work for improving the moral atmosphere in America. A few short paragraphs from the article will show just how serious teenage drinking is in the United States. Please remember that 93,000 teenagers responded to USA Today's questionnaire about drinking. 22%, or 20,000 respondents, have taken rides with teen drinker drivers at some time in their lives. Among 10th through 12th graders, 13% rode in a car with a teen drinker driver this week. More than half of the drinkers say they would not stop drinking if their parents punished them or if they were arrested. More than a quarter predict they wouldn't stop if a friend died from drinker driving, a real possibility. Because alcohol-related accidents are the number one cause of teen death, killing 2,691 10 to 20-year-olds in 1992. 12% of the drinkers say parents wittingly or unwittingly supply alcohol. 62% of the drinkers say private homes are the most common place to drink. The legal age to buy or publicly possess alcohol is 20 across the nation. The legality of parents serving alcohol to their own children at home varies from state to state. Overall, 22% of the respondents identify themselves as drinkers. Younger students and girls are the least likely to drink. 4% of the girls in grades 6 and 7 say they drink. Older boys are most likely to drink. 47% of the boys in grades 10 through 12 call themselves drinkers. Students in grades 10 to 12 estimate that 60% of their classmates drink. These unscientific results mesh with an authoritative 1993 national study by the University of Michigan, in which 51% of high school seniors said that they had drunk in the past 30 days, and with a 1991 U.S. Surgeon General's report that more than half of the junior high and senior high school students drink. Page 4. This brief excerpt from USA Weekend prompts a number of questions and observations. The answer to the questions I shall raise will come primarily from the article in USA Weekend. Who supplies the liquor which teens drink? The tragic truth is that many young people get their drink from their parents. 12% of the drinkers say parents wittingly or unwittingly supply the alcohol. If parents drink, and most parents in the United States do drink, their alcohol is available to the children and young people in that home. I have known cases where a child became an alcoholic or was killed in a drunk driving incident, and the parents could not understand why the child behaved as he did. But the child had begun his drinking as a result of his parents drinking or of their supplying the alcohol. One of the teenagers interviewed for the USA Weekend article expressed the need for tougher laws. People sell liquor to minors and do not think anything about it. They just consider the profits. Page 5. Are parents so blind or insensitive that they cannot see where their drinking will lead their youngsters? My father was my role model as I grew into maturity. I wanted to walk like him, to talk like him, and to grow up to be the kind of man he was. I thought he could do anything. He was skilled at building, at farming, at hunting, and at many other activities. When I was a child, my father smoked, but he saw where his smoking might lead his 12 children. He quit smoking as a result. And not one of the 12 children, only 9 now living, smokes. What if he had been a drinker? Do you think his drinking would have gone unnoticed? Are there businessmen and women in the United States who do not care what happens to the young people to whom they sell beverage alcohol? The young woman from whom I read a moment ago says that people who sell liquor to minors just consider the profits. Do you believe her accusation is well-founded? Tragically, there are business people in virtually every community who would sell whatever they could to make money, regardless of who gets hurt in the process. I have had young people to tell me that they can buy alcoholic beverages almost anywhere they choose. The bottom line for many merchants is money, not the welfare of the community or of our precious treasure, our young people. Do you think those who sell alcohol to minors or others ever suffer from pangs of conscience when they see the mangled bodies of accident victims? Do they ever weep when a young mother is killed by a person to whom they have sold beverage alcohol, whether legally or illegally? The carnage on America's highways is a national disgrace. I'm aware that many accidents occur where neither party to the accident has been drinking. But the number of young people and older ones who have been drinking and killed in accidents is appalling. The national survey of 93,000 young people revealed that 22%, or 20,000 young people, have ridden with a teen drinker driver at some time. 13%, or 12,000, of those in grades 10 through 12 say they rode with a teen drinker driver this month. Page 5. These, my friends, are disturbing statistics. This explains why alcohol-related accidents are the number one cause of teen death, killing 2,691 10 to 20-year-olds in 1992. Do parents, school teachers, and other community leaders not care what happens to our teenage population? The reason I ask this last question is to get you to think about your vote to legalize alcoholic beverages. What motivates men and women in any given community to cast their vote for beverage alcohol, which they know, if they think about it, will destroy hundreds and hundreds of thousands of young people and older people as well? Do they believe that beverage alcohol makes a better community? As some prominent people in Jackson, Tennessee, had the audacity to say several years ago, "Have you ever known the legalization of alcohol to strengthen homes, to create a better business atmosphere, to promote safer streets, and to help men and women, boys and girls, to have better moral values?" One would think, if he is accustomed to thinking, that parents in particular, but everyone in general, could see what beverage alcohol does to our children and young people. The national survey of teenage drinking shows that both drinkers and non-drinkers agree that drinking is a major problem. 74% of the drinkers and non-drinkers say that drinking is as big a problem as, or a bigger problem than, sex and drug use in their school. 47%, or 44,000 of these 93,000 young people, say drinking is more of a problem than violence in their school. Page 5. What many of these young people may not know, and many older people seem not to care, is that there is a direct correlation between teenage drinking and violence in schools and elsewhere. Young people under the influence of alcohol may become vicious, violent, and mean when they are drinking. They might be horrified at such behavior if they were not drinking. Drinking has been known to turn quiet, peaceable people into dangerous and diabolical monsters. Where do America's teenagers learn to drink? I'm not asking where they obtain the beverage alcohol which they drink, but where they get the idea of drinking. In other words, who are the examples they follow in learning to drink? Most young people who drink come from homes where their parents drink. If a child grows up watching his parents drink, seeing liquor in the house all the time, and associating in his home with those who make a habit of drinking, why would we expect the child not to drink? Everyone knows the influence which parents exert on their offspring. Why do we think the drinking habits of parents would be different from any other behavior? Here is a tragedy which I would prefer to ignore, but cannot afford to do so. The young person watches his parents and their friends drink on occasions where they seem to be having a great amount of fun. The young person naturally wants to grow up to have fun also. He begins to drink, but may lack control over his drinking activities. He begins to drink heavily, and almost immediately he becomes an alcoholic. Older adults may take several years to become alcoholics, but teenagers are different. They can become alcoholics in a much shorter time. What do parents think of their drinking when they see that they have turned their children into alcoholics? Is the high a parent receives from his drinking worth seeing his child become a slave to beverage alcohol? Of course, parents do not intend for that to happen. Somehow, they believe they can drink and not adversely affect their children and the children of others. A young woman involved in the National Survey of Teenage Drinking criticizes the hypocrisy they see in parents. Kids see their parents drink at the same time their parents are telling them they shouldn't do it. This young woman echoes other teenagers who, seeking their own way and learning their own lessons, choose to drink. If you don't drink too much, you can have fun. If you do drink too much, then it's a problem. It's not really worth it in the long run. All it does is cause trouble. Page 5. Or what if the child's drinking leads to his own death in an automobile accident, or to the death of someone else? Tragically, some of the young people surveyed would not quit drinking if some of their friends were killed in driving accidents, or if they themselves caused the accident. Do parents and other adults ever stop to think about these matters when they choose to drink in the presence of their young people? Have parents no responsibility for the staggering number of children killed as a result of driving under the influence of alcohol? Does it make any difference to parents if their children kill others? But parents are not the only, and in some cases not the major factor, in young people's drinking conduct. How do advertising and the entertainment media affect young people's and older people's drinking behavior? The liquor industry spends billions of dollars each year to entice young people to drink. The leaders in the industry claim they are simply encouraging people to switch brands, not to begin to drink, and not to increase the amount they drink. My friends, do not be deceived by such false claims. Advertising in every industry is designed to bring in new customers, and not just to switch a customer from one brand to another. Any pretense to the contrary is simple hypocrisy. The liquor industry has devised some of the most attractive and appealing advertising in the world. If the advertising did nothing more than promote the switching of brands, the liquor companies would have to quit advertising. Some of them would have to go out of business if their customers switched to other brands. One of the most effective means of advertising strong drink is to feature drinking in virtually every movie and in television programs. One of the young women involved in the National Survey of Teenage Drinking made this astute observation. It's built into our society. Alcohol can be advertised everywhere. You don't hear as much about the negative aspects. All you see is people having a good time. Page 5. Have you paid close attention to how drinking is portrayed on television and in the movies? When handsome young men and beautiful young women are having a good time at parties, alcohol flows freely. They're never shown in serious accidents where their bodies are mangled and lives are lost. They never show these beautiful people down in the gutter with the hogs. They never picture these people beating their wives or their children or causing a fight with a friend. Why not be honest and show what happens to people when they drink? Another facet of the movie and television industries pertaining to alcohol relates to those who are having serious emotional problems. The universal solution to emotional problems, so far as television and the movies is concerned, is beverage alcohol. When a person is sick, or angry, or disappointed in love, the panacea is always liquor. What message does this leave with our young people? If you are having fun, liquor should be a part of that fun. If you are not having fun, then liquor can take care of that too. In other words, we are an alcohol-saturated society. Nothing good or bad can escape the need to drink beverage alcohol. It is the universal social lubricant and the universal solution to our problems. As a result of the almost universal availability of beverage alcohol, our teenagers, both drinkers and non-drinkers, agree that alcohol is a major problem. 74% of the young people surveyed said that drinking is as big a problem as, or a bigger problem than, sex and drug use in school. 47%, or 44,000 of these young people, said drinking is more of a problem than violence in their school. Page 5. If these young people are correct, who is responsible for these tragic conditions? Do drinking parents share any of the blame for the drinking problems of our young people? What about the liquor industry and the advertising business? Does anyone really care who is responsible? If our society cares about the young lives which are being damaged or destroyed, we have a peculiar way of showing it. We keep legalizing liquor in city after city and in county after county. After all, we need the tax revenue. Our young people will have to make the best of a bad situation. I have one more question I need to ask you before our lesson comes to a close. How can we influence the number of young people who drink, or can we? From every indication I have seen, drinking and abusing other drugs are on the increase. Is there any way we can help our young people to see the grave dangers of beverage alcohol? The young people in the national survey gave several suggestions on the best way to cut down on drinking. 36% of the drinkers say more community activities would be the most effective remedy. 27% said peer pressure. 23% said a crackdown by parents and by police. 8% of the drinkers suggest more alcohol prevention programs in school would help to cut down on teen drinking. Page 5. While all of these suggestions and proposals have some validity, they do not go far enough. Dr. David L. Alms, a psychiatrist and a medical director of the Chemical Dependency Unit at St. Mary's Health Center in St. Louis, is quoted in the USA Weekend article as saying, "If you want to reduce alcohol abuse, the most important factor is parental example." Parental influence runs throughout the results of the write-in survey. 3/4 of the respondents say they don't drink, believe their parents don't want them to drink, and agree with their parents' wishes. Parents' influence also shows up when drinking respondents say that the number one place they drink is in the home, and that some parents serve drinks to teenagers. The respondents are split on at-home drinking. Some think it's a sign parents don't care. Others believe it's a mark of great foresight and distinction. Page 5. I am not so naive as to believe that if parents quit drinking and quit serving their children alcoholic beverages, that all teenagers would immediately, or even in the long run, quit drinking. But there is no doubt about the importance of parents' attitudes and behavior on the drinking conduct of young people. If parents want their young people not to drink, they must cease drinking. In addition, they must teach their young people about the destructiveness of beverage alcohol. Would taking our children to a church which opposes strong drink help them to see the great evils associated with drinking? The young people in the survey suggested that cities and communities provide more alcohol-free activities. Here are some excerpts from the comments of the young people in the survey. One 13-year-old said, "There are much better things to do. That's why I get involved in sports and stuff. If you're bored, you can read a book. There are other answers besides alcohol." A 16-year-old says, "There are a lot of things in this world that are important to me. Drinking alcohol is not one of them." I have a great group of friends who feel the same way I do. We have parties, play computer games, and shoot hoops. We don't need alcohol to make us wittier or to be accepted. We also go to movies, swim, go to hockey games. There's plenty to do. Page 8. There are other letters from these young people which are worth reading, but let me close our study today by making a few observations. If we want our young people to quit drinking, or better, never start, we must fill them with the truth of God's Word and instill in them biblical moral values. As valuable as other activities are, they will not of themselves prevent young people's drinking. Our children must be taught about the value of keeping our bodies pure and dedicated to the Master's service. Paul asked the Corinthians, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20. The Old Testament speaks of the human body in these powerful words, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well." Psalm 139:14. The human body is the most marvelous creation in the universe. It comes from the very mind of God Almighty. How can we, either young or older people, introduce into our bodies a substance which clouds our minds, cripples our bodies, and endangers our souls? In addition, there is always the morning after, when one has to suffer headaches and a guilty conscience, unless drinking has so dulled the person's conscience that he or she can no longer feel guilt. What condition could possibly be worse than that? Thank you, and may God bless you.